We give you all a very, very warm welcome to the report and ministry meeting this evening. A real joy to be with you in Fifeshire this evening. We're in the book of Nehemiah, please. We're in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah in chapter 3, please. The book of Nehemiah, with 13 chapters, has two major sections. Section number 1, chapters 1 to 7. The principal character being Nehemiah himself. In the first part of the book, 1 to 7, there's a physical work. But in the second part of the book, from chapters 8 to 13, the principal character is Ezra, the priest, the scribe. Never the scribe, the priest. He's always Ezra, the priest, his vertical relationship with God, and then he's Ezra, the scribe, his horizontal relationship with the people of God. And chapters 8 to 13 would emphasize not so much a physical or a practical work, but a great spiritual work. And the main character was Ezra himself. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the high priests, and they builded the sheep gate. Verse number 1, you'll read of the sheep gate. Verse number 3, at the beginning, you'll read of the fish gate. Verse 6, the old gate. At the beginning and end of verse number 13, you'll read of the valley gate and the dung gate. You'll also read of the dung or the refuse gate at the beginning of verse number 14. Verse 15, you'll read of the gate of the fountain or the fountain gate. Verse 26, the water gate. Verse 28, the horse gate. Verse 29, the east gate. Verse 31, the gate Mifkad. Literally in the Hebrew language, the word Mifkad means has the idea of analysis or inspection. And then in verse number 32, we're back where we began in verse number 1 at the sheep gate. Interesting that when we come to Nehemiah and chapter 3, you'll read of 38 different names, 42 different groups of people or families. The name Nehemiah occurs in chapter 3 and verse 16, but it's not Nehemiah, the leader of this rebuilding project. It's not Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer. It's another man of God with the same name. We learn immediately the practical lesson that in Nehemiah chapter 3, the name of the leader is missing. In other words, we cannot expect elders or an oversight in a local assembly to do all the work of God in an assembly and in a locality. Each believer, whether young or older in years, has at least one spiritual gift received at conversion, the new birth, by the risen head of the church, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, we are all to be involved in God's great work. Want to encourage, particularly, and lovely to see younger Christians and younger people in the meeting this evening. We want to encourage you to be involved in the greatest project on planet Earth, the great work of God. You need a good education, a future career, but always have young believer at the center of your Christian life, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Interesting that when you come to that long list of names in Romans chapter 16, you'll find the name Quartus. His name simply means number 4. In the same chapter, Romans 16, there's another man of God called Tertius. His name simply means number 3, 4, 3. Go to Acts 20 and verse 4. There's Secundus. His name simply means number 2, 432. But interesting, if you read from Matthew 1 to Revelation 22, you won't come across the name Primus, which means number 1. Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ who wants the first place, the place of preeminence in our individual, family, and assembly lives. When you come to chapter 3, there are 10 gates along the wall of Jerusalem. The other two gates are recorded for us in chapter 12 and verse 39. The prison gate that would speak of the disciplining hand of God in our Christian lives. Hebrews 12, truth. Then there's the Ephraim gate that would speak of fruitfulness. John chapter 15, as Christians were exhorted to be spiritually fruitful for God. We can discuss it over a cup of tea or coffee at 8:30. But I judge that the much fruit, the fruit bearing of John 15 can be linked with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. But in chapter 3, there are 10 gates. We begin and end at the sheep gate. The sheep gate would speak of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. The sheep gate speaks of the great Bible truth doctrine of salvation. And you and I, if we're saved by divine grace, we began our spiritual journey. We began our spiritual walk with God when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. John 1 verse 29, you'll read of the work of the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1, 36, the perfect walk of the Lamb of God. Keep going in the New Testament scriptures. The book of Revelation, after the rapture of the church, Daniel's 70th week will begin here on earth. The 7 years of the tribulation. But after the rapture of the church, Revelation 5 and verse 12, there in the third heaven, the uncreated dwelling place of God, our eternal home. Revelation 5 verse 12, worship for the Lamb. Revelation 6 and verse 16, you'll read of the wrath of the Lamb that will be poured out on earth during that 7 year tribulation period. But we can give thanks that the church will not enter into that 7 year period, will be taken home to heaven and glory prior to Daniel's 70th week. The final reference to the Lamb in the book of Revelation, Revelation 19 and verse 7, keeping our alliteration, the wedding or the marriage of the Lamb. In heaven it'll take place after the rapture, after the beam of the judgment seat of Christ, and undoubtedly prior to his glorious revelation as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The sheep gate speaks of salvation. But notice who's working at the sheep gate. Eliashib the high priest. And he's working in unity and fellowship with his fellow or co-priest. The sheep gate. And the priests that work there are a lovely picture, I judge, of local assembly testimony. Saved by divine grace. You and I, dear saint of God, we are priests. Better translation in Revelation 1 and verse 6. We're not kings and priests. We are a kingdom of priests. we believe in the priesthood of all believers. We're a kingdom of priests. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, we are holy priests. That's our vertical relationship with God. As holy priests, we go in to worship God. But then, 1 Peter 2 verse 9, we're a royal priesthood. We go out into the world to do what? To work and to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're priests, but we're working in the local assembly, in unity, fellowship, and harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Gate number one speaks of salvation and the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. Gate number two, verse three, the fish gate. The fish gate would speak of evangelism. Four of the 12 disciples were fishermen by trade, by profession. The Lord himself could say in Matthew 4 and verse 19, I will make you fishers of men. Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. I judge that the lovely expression, the word of the Lord, refers to the gospel, the good news of God's great and eternal salvation. In other words, from you, from the local assembly, sounded forth the gospel of God's grace. So whether corporately as a local assembly, or whether individually as believers, we are all involved in evangelism. We're all involved in the great work of the gospel. The fish gate of verse 3 speaks of evangelism and gospel outreach work. But then, very, very quickly, my time's running out. Now, we would be used to slightly longer meetings in Romania. Lord's Day mornings, 2.5 to 3 hours. Sunday evenings would be 1.5 to 2 hours. I can see the young people saying amen. And then during the week, 1.5 to 2 hours. But I assure you, you'll be home by 11 o'clock this evening. We're at verse number 15, the gate of the fountain. The fountain gate. At the fountain gate, you'll find water for drinking. Verse 26, the water gate, you'll find water for washing. Different symbols. Verse 15, at the fountain gate, water for drinking is a symbol, a lovely picture of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible reference, John 7, verses 37 to 39. So at the fountain gate, you'll find a spirit-filled believer. Each Christian at conversion was indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8 and verse 9. But it should be our normal, daily Christian experience to be not only indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, but to be filled with the Spirit of God. That simply means, there in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, that every area and aspect of our lives should be controlled by the Spirit of God. And there in the context of Ephesians 5, particularly that little paragraph, verses 15 to 21, you'll see evidences of being a spirit-filled believer. A spirit-filled believer, verse 16, doesn't waste his time. He redeeming the time, buying up the opportunities, A spirit-filled believer. Verse 15, walks circumspectly. Verse 17, understands the will of God. Verse 19, there's a worshipful spirit. Verse 20, a spirit-filled believer always gives thanks. And verse 21 is submissive. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. But then in verse 26, the water gate, water for washing, a picture or symbol, Ephesians 5 verse 26, of the word of God. At the fountain gate, you'll find a spirit-filled believer. But at verse 26, you'll find at the water gate, a scripture-filled believer. Keep reading through the practical book of Nehemiah. You'll come to the second major section, chapter 8. It's a New Year's Day conference. No breaks for tea and coffee and for hot pies at the midway interval. No, no, no. 7 hours of Bible reading, exposition, and application. And basically, two or three of the gates that we've sought to highlight very, very quickly and simply this evening, they would highlight our main ministry for God in the land of Romania. The fish gate, evangelism, gospel outreach work. The sheep gate, the systematic Bible teaching. We were commended by the Chesent Assembly in October 1992. Both prior to commendation and subsequent to it, we made 18, often 1 month visits to the land of Romania. We moved out in May 1996 to live and to serve the Lord in Romania, that has a declining population of 21 million people, projected by 2050 to reach 16.5 million people. In Western Romania, Transylvania, there would be 2.5 million Hungarian-speaking people. A significant Gypsy population. Large numbers of Romanian people living and working in Western Europe. In recent years, we've had the joy and wonderful privilege of ministering and having systematic Bible teaching meetings for believers in Romanian assemblies in London, where there would be two assemblies, Northwest London in Kenton, and a Romanian-speaking assembly of 250 baptized believers. We had two Lord's Days there from 5 till 8 last year. On the way back to the UK last September, we spent the weekend with the Romanian-speaking assembly in Vienna. In May of this year, for 3 weeks, we had 3 weeks of ministry meetings, two sessions of ministry each evening for 7 Romanian-speaking assemblies in Italy. Tremendous changes socially, militarily, economically. Romania now has a greatly improved infrastructure. The first time we were in Fifeshire, I was told by our brother Fraser, he made a note of it in his diary, the 1st of February 1994, in Ineleven, I would have mentioned that driving on Romanian roads, you would have needed a PhD. You say, what's a PhD? Pothole dodger. But no longer do you need to dodge the roads, the potholes. Despite congestion on these Romanian roads, motorway system springing up, roads relaid, bridges built, rebuilt, a great infrastructure. 19 years ago, when we moved out to live in Romania, not one supermarket. Now there's every supermarket. Tesco's haven't arrived quite yet. Perhaps if they did, their profits would increase. But having said all that, we want to put the spotlight until 8:30 on the spiritual changes in Romania. There have been assemblies in Romania for 115 years. The first assembly was established in the capital, Bucharest, in November 1899. The early UK input into these Romanian assemblies between the two world wars, G.H. Lang and E.H. Broadbent visited these assemblies. Communism came in the mid-1940s. Mid-1960s, the Ceausescus took over. A severe form of communism. Brethren, no gospel tracts under communism. No gospel campaigns. No open-air preaching. Not every Christian had their own copy of the Bible. That's why. At the time of the dramatic revolution in 1989, these 220 assemblies were strong in evangelism, a lot weaker in Bible teaching. A tremendous need then, as there is tonight, for TCP, truth clearly presented. A tremendous need for BBT, balanced Bible teaching. And tonight, I haven't got copyright on it, Fifeshire needs the KGB to know God better. But having said all that, strong in evangelism, a lot weaker in Bible teaching. 25 years later, since that dramatic revolution, there would be approximately 690 autonomous assemblies in Romania. More assemblies in Romania tonight than the whole of Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union put together. In fact, in Western Romania, there would be more Hungarian-speaking assemblies than there are in Hungary itself. So the number of assemblies has more than tripled in number. The number of believers in these tripled assemblies has more than doubled. We would value your prayers for your ongoing prayers for the various ministries that the Lord has wonderfully opened up for Sue and I during the last 19 years in the land of Romania. Number one, although we're not directly involved in it now and haven't been for the last few years, was the setting up of Christian infant schools. The aim being to bridge build into the local community. They're still continuing. And on a daily basis, children from unsaved homes have access to the gospel and to the word of God. Contacts that Sue had through setting up these Christian infant schools from 1999 and 2002 onwards. We've been able to use those contacts and take a simpler version of the Romanian Bible exhibition into state infant schools during the last 12 months. We'd value your prayers for Christian schools in Romania. Secondly, strong in evangelism, very weak 25 years ago on Bible teaching. Therefore, in the early 1990s, we were greatly burdened about a literature ministry. During the last 20 plus years, over 200 books have been translated, printed. All 28 of an English missionary to Brazil, our dear brother in the Lord, Kenneth Jones, who was called home a few years ago in his early 90s, All 28 of his study courses have been translated and printed. Almost a quarter of a million of those have been printed and distributed throughout Romania, the neighbouring country, the Republic of Moldova, and the Odessa region of the Ukraine. In parallel with the printing of Kenneth Jones's 28 Bible study courses, just like the Emesis, basically, we were able in 1998 in the town of Codlia in central Romania to set up a Bible correspondence coursework. It's still going. Numbers are slightly down. During its heyday, 7,000 people were registered and actively studying the Word of God using these Bible study courses. They were going into 33 prisons throughout Romania. We had in our books, computer records, at least 30 murderers. Now, they're being used primarily by prisoners, by other individuals through the post, and then in a systematic way for Bible studies in local assemblies. Ministry number one, school ministry. Number two, literature work. In recent years, the major project has been the revision and the reprinting of William MacDonald's Old and New Testament commentaries. We've had our brother Bert, who's in the meeting this evening, Bert Cargill's two of them already. Tell me more about series. Tell me more about the Lord, the most recent. Tell me more about the gospel, was done a couple of years ago. In the back of our minds, always, weak in Bible teaching. We can only be in one place at one time, although we try to do a bit more than that. But what we want to do in this report meeting is to try and get across, number one, it's not our work, it's the Lord's work. And it's the Lord who has and continues to work to his praise and for his eternal glory. It's the Lord who saves. It's the Lord who is building his church. Despite the religious context in Romania, the dominant Romanian Orthodox Church, 80% would be Orthodox, nominally. 6% of the population Catholic. In fact, for your encouragement, there's an evangelical arm of the Orthodox Church called Vastele Domnului, or the Lord's Army, basically divided into two groups, saved and unsaved. The saved group, 10 years ago, in eastern Romania, in Galați, 25 baptized believers left the evangelical arm of the Orthodox Church and are now gathering unto the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in the county of Galați, in the large village of Hanu Kunaki. In fact, since the revolution, 50 plus Orthodox and Catholic priests have been genuinely saved by the grace of God. But in the back of our minds was, how can we raise the level of teaching in Sunday schools, youth ministries, Bible classes, and in general assembly meetings? Brethren in North American assemblies, J.B. Nicholson Jr. and brethren like that spent 5.5 years writing 136 booklets, 17 modules from Genesis to the book of the Acts, 4 different levels, children, young and older, teens and adults. A tremendous Bible teaching resource. During the last 2 years, we've received nearly 2 million gospel tracts. We've been able to have printed 100,000 John's Gospels. We would have the Bible teaching resources for Sunday school teachers, in Bible classes, etc., etc. We've been able to print 10 different children's books, nearly 200,000 of them. To back up the Gospel Tent ministry, we've got the Gospel booklets, the John's Gospels, the tracts. We can give the Romanian believers the resources in order to go out and to do the work of God. In other words, the work isn't dependent upon us. It doesn't revolve around us. We would give them the resources and they would then go out. And to some extent, they're already doing it in any case. But the backup material, very few gospel tracts were in the country previous. We're now able to give individual believers, evangelists or assemblies, tracts and booklets in order to evangelize. We've had over 100,000 of the seed sowers, John 3:16, printed. And on the back, the two ways chart and an explanation of John 3 and verse 16. Using the same format, we've just had 25,000 of 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And on the back, a very brief gospel message about the birth of the Lord using four questions. We'd value your prayers for the expansion and the development of the Bible correspondence coursework and the literature ministry. We would also have our own Christian website. An elder in one of the central Romanian assemblies set up for us over 10 years ago, the aim being to advertise Bible study courses for unbelievers to have access to the gospel and to gospel tracts, and for believers to have access to Bible teaching articles. Nehemiah could write in Nehemiah 4 and verse 19, "The work is large and great." So true of assembly work and testimony in the land of Romania. Just for the final part of the meeting, we want to highlight these other main ministries that the Lord has given to us. Number one, systematic Bible teaching. We're seeking from October to the beginning of May, mid-May, to maximize our spiritual influence through systematic Bible teaching. For nearly 13 years, every Saturday was taken up during that October to May period in key towns and cities throughout the country. We used to have 13 years in the oil city of Ploiești, where we now live for the last 4 years, two Saturdays a month from 8 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, over 100 believers gather together for the teaching of the Word of God. We've been able to move on from Bacău, Vaslui, Ploiești. For 3 years, we were in the central belt in Sebeș. In other parts of the country, we've been able to move on to other areas. Moving south 4.5 years ago, we're able to, once every 10 days, for a very good number of gypsy believers, we would have Bible study, all-day Bible studies. These brethren are now in Spain. They would work in Spain for 5 months. They're due back in Romania, maybe early to mid-November. So late November, once every 10 days, from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, we would break for an hour, 2 till 3, and have a barbecue or something like that. You don't need to worry about the heating. This particular group of gypsy brethren, they love it, 30, 32 degrees centigrade in the meeting. If it gets too hot, they put more wood on the stove and open the doors. But having said that, it's lovely to look back over the last 18 plus years and to see brethren from their mid-30s to their early 50s, elders in local assemblies, evangelists, Bible teachers, brethren that used to come to these systematic Bible studies, being grounded in the truths of the Word of God. Brethren, we believe in continuity, in assembly work, and in a Bible teaching ministry. In any ministry, there needs to be continuity. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, that they may teach others also. And so through the commentaries, the booklets, the helpful books on various subjects, the Bible study courses, they're then able to teach others also. And the work's expanding. Assemblies continue to expand. We were brought into contact in 2005 with a converted international wrestler. One or two front teeth missing, but he's a great evangelist who's established a number of assemblies or preaching points in the two northwestern counties of Satomare and Maramureș. He said to me in the autumn of 2007, buy a gospel tent. We prayed about it. In the spring of 2007, we bought a gospel tent. We commenced in the earthquake county of Rancho with a 17 by 7 metre gospel tent. We visited in the summer of 2008, 9 villages and the town of Mureș. Over 3,000 children came to the afternoon children's meetings. 3,500 saved and unsaved adults. 25 professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The next year, we got opposition. In 2009, when we were invited to an assembly in the county of Bacău, we got opposition. Well, you would expect that in God's work. Brethren were opposed to a new method. They'd never seen a gospel tent before. So they were opposed to gospel tent preaching. But when they heard that after the first two nights in this particular village, 30 unsaved adults were coming into the tent gospel meetings, the brethren that were opposed to it, actually Lord's Day evening, they closed down their meetings, hired a couple of coaches, and came to the final evening. In the south of the country, in the county of Teloman, the older generation of brethren would have taught this. Paul, you can only preach at a funeral. We had contact 3 summers ago with a converted customs man. You can guess his name. Matei in Romanian. Full-time evangelist. Through working alongside him during the winter and spring months with systematic studies in the south of the country, this summer, 8 villages were reached in the county of Teloman. People were saved. One example, among others. Last summer, into the gospel tent came a lady in her mid-50s. Unsaved, still probably unsaved. I shook her by the hand 3 months ago when we were preaching down in the tent in Puran, Teloman. Her unsaved son, mid to late 20s, a drug dealer in Bucharest. He's on holiday in the Black Sea Resort in one of the hotels. We would use loudspeaker systems in the gospel tents. You can hear the gospel over half a mile away. Tremendous opportunities. Please pray that we'll continue on public land to receive official permission. We do not have complete religious freedom in Romania. We cannot pitch a gospel tent anywhere in Romania. Private land, yes. Public land with official permission, signed and stamped. Unless it's stamped, it doesn't mean anything in Romania by the local elected mayor. This particular night, the drug dealer, hundreds of kilometers away at the Black Sea, was saved by divine grace. No contact with believers or assemblies. He got in contact with an assembly months later 3 months ago, he was baptized by immersion in a local river, now in assembly fellowship. So the work began to expand. During the last 2 summers, we've been using 11 gospel tents in Romania and one in the neighboring country, the Republic of Moldova. If there are at least 10 assemblies in the Republic of Moldova that were planted by Romanian evangelists from the mid-1990s onwards. We've had 6 or 7 visits there during the last 3 years. We'd value your prayers for a young couple, round about the age of 30, commended by an assembly in eastern Romania. Working north of the capital, Chisinau, the 8 working in parallel with existing assemblies, seeking to strengthen them, the 10 plus village assemblies in the Republic of Moldova, but in parallel with that, their aim being is to plant, to establish a new assembly in the town where they're living. In fellowship with a number of brethren in the northeast of Romania, the vision and the strategy is to attack small and larger towns and even the capital, Chisinau, in order to evangelize, preach the gospel, and then establish local assemblies. We value your prayers. Every summer, we can get between 10 and 20,000 children coming into these summer afternoon tent meetings. We want to encourage children in the meeting, younger people, if you're not saved, get saved and devote your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But every evening in the gospel tents, we would have anything between 10 and 15,000 saved and unsaved people listening to the preaching of the gospel. In the summer of last year, over 160 people profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, our God is able. We have a powerful God. Perhaps we limit the power of God in the gospel. Perhaps the Lord is saying to you and I this evening, O ye of little faith. William Carey could say, attempt great things for God. We're aiming to do that under the hand of God and to motivate and to encourage and to work alongside elders and assemblies in order to see expansion and development in assembly life and testimony throughout Romania and into the neighbouring country, a lot poorer. You do need your PhD there, in the Republic of Moldova. The work is large and great. Lovely, through contacts that we had 10, 15, even 20 years ago almost, with brethren, friendships have been formed, fellowship in service. In recent years, we've been able to work alongside them in different counties with these different gospel tents. This summer, for instance, we had the joy of seeing a girl of 10 profess faith in the Lord Jesus. 12, 13 years previously, we preached at her parents' wedding. We would have the same problem as you would have in Fifeshire. Very difficult. It still happens, but not as it did 20 years ago. It's harder now for Romanian assemblies to get people into the gospel hall, the four walls of the assembly building. But if they're not going to come in, there's only one option: go out. So the gospel tent gives them another option during the 4 summer months. But then, 2 years ago, having seen the Bromborough Bible exhibition on the Wirral, we then had contact with our brother, Graham Hewitson, Linwood Assembly, Bible and icon art, that type of thing. It's good that brethren with their professional training can use that in the context of spiritual work, God's work. So through the tremendous help of Graham, we were able to set up, we worked in fellowship with the assembly in Ploiești, with the local elders, with an outstanding Bible expositor who was a great help to us. It was a true team effort. We would have 18, one by 1.5 meter panels. The aim being, in a visual way, on the 18 panels would be to have contact with unsaved people. They haven't got a clue, with respect, they haven't got a clue what a Bible exhibition is. They're not coming to a gospel meeting, because it's not. They don't know what a Bible exhibition is, so you've got a chance. You've got these 18 panels. Panel 1, the Bible. Panel 5, creation. Panel 8, the Hebrew people. Panel 12, the central theme of the Bible, the love of God. Panel 17, the impact of the Bible. Early classical composers, Christians. Early scientists, composers. The impact of the Bible. We would also have 5-6 tables, a 2x1 model of the tabernacle. Manuscripts, not the original manuscripts, of course. But in the different original languages. The aim being, we got 30 pieces of silver, or we did have, we now got 29. One disappeared in a Christian school. We had a tremendous opportunity in March. 600 pupils, students, 25 classes. It was hard work, but well worth it. We got the 5 exhibition tables, the 18 panels. So through the message and the exhibition items, we're able to communicate Bible truths and the good news of salvation. We never thought, we never imagined, didn't even enter our heads, that we'd be able to have a Bible exhibition in shopping centres. Could you imagine that, brethren? Taking up one of the Scottish Bible exhibitions into Asda, Aldi, Lidl, or Tesco's. Probably for you, it would be a no-go area. For us, generally, it's possible. We'd value your prayers. And it's great that Scottish brethren and English down south can get into state schools. Tremendous opportunity. We can't do that. Very, very difficult for us to take an exhibition into state schools. We've been able to hire on the Romanian-Bulgarian border in January an art gallery. 300 unsaved people came into the exhibition. We had a 90-second television interview. That was relayed a number of times. As a result of that, people came. Contacts for the local assembly. We'd value your prayers for the systematic Bible teaching, for the 12 gospel tents during the summer months, and for the development of the Bible exhibition. And may God help you, strengthen you, and encourage you as you here in Fifeshire are involved in the greatest work on earth, the great work of God. What did Nehemiah say as I close? Nehemiah 6 and verse 3. I am doing a great work. Brethren, God's work is a great work. You and I serve a great God. Shall we pray?